This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome back, Diehard Nation. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. John Bellman running rock and roll control in Houston. We are at the Pepe compound, 20 minutes south of Fenway Park here in Boston. We got a live studio audience. We got Rob G here. We got Scotty Too Hottie. We got Mateo hanging out. We got the whole crew hanging out here drinking Viva Seltzers. When I get off the air in about 54 minutes, I will crush one of those as well. And then I'll wash that down with a Willie's Super Brew. That's just how we roll. We'll probably cook some Sausage Guy sausages. John Bellman, don't be jealous. I'll send you some, I promise.
I'm a little bit jealous, yeah, listening to you talk about it. You know, you said you were going to send us some Viva a while back. It hadn't happened.
All right, it's going to happen. I'm going to get my guy on it. I got a guy. Speaking of the guy, Joey Chestnut, I know he's the story. And he's the story every year, 4th of July, the Nathan's Coney Island hot dog eating contest, 15 straight championships, and the mustard belt, and the guy is unbelievable. He ate 63 hot dogs. Total was 64 and a half. It went under, but some books felt that because a protester hopped in the way, I don't even know what the sign said, I don't even care, won't even give him the love. Dude had a mask on. He looked like Darth Vader or something from Star Wars. Hopped in the middle of Joey Chestnut with some type of sign. Don't even know what it says. Don't even care. Joey Chestnut is in the middle of eating a hot dog, and he chokes the dude out. By the way, Joey Chestnut was on one leg on crutches because he had like an ACL injury or something stupid. Choked the dude out, continued eating his hot dog, and won another championship. And these competitive eaters, man, they are unbelievable. I don't know how they do it. I think I could probably get to 7 or 8 hot dogs in 10 minutes and then probably get really, really sick. 63 hot dogs is absolutely insane. It's not just the hot dogs. You got to eat the rolls, too, and they dunk the rolls in the water, and it's just a mess. I don't know how he does it, but obviously they train. They're competitive eaters. They're professional athletes. Yeah, they're professional athletes. We interviewed Richard Shea, the guy who runs it, on the mic, that guy with the funny hat. And he said they are athletes. They are pure athletes. I guess they are. But Joey Chestnut, champion once again, and an absolute legend. Coming up next, professional gambler, handicapper from 98.5, the Sports Hub, Dan Lifshatz, joins the Diehards.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Before we get to my friend on the Progressive Guest Line, I want to tell you about the world-famous Sausage Guy at Fenway Park. I've known David Littlefield since 1990. We were college football teammates at Curry College in Milton, Massachusetts. The Sausage Guy is a staple at Fenway Park. On Lansdowne Street, behind the Grain Monster, where the Red Sox play, pick up your Sausage Guy products that now include sausages. He has sweet, hot pork. He does steak, chicken, and pork tips, hot dogs, and even burgers. Yep, he does it all. They're available in New England at most supermarket chains, including Stop and Shop, Hannaford's, Big Y, and many more. Plus, you can order Sausage Guy products at QVC.com. Hit the search engine, type in the Sausage Guy, get them delivered right to your door. He has a new sausage. It's called Wicked Hut. He dropped off a box, or maybe three, for 4th of July weekend here at the Pepe compound, and they are flat out brilliant. Check them out, QVC.com. Type in the Sausage Guy. Get them to your door. Speaking of brilliant, we'll go to the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Once again, makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at Progressive.com. Professional handicapper, gambler from 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the Diehards, Mr. Dan Lifshatz. You still down the Cape, by the way?
I am. I'm still in the Cape. I was going to come back today, but the traffic was insane. So coming back tomorrow.
I hear it was like a 4-hour wait from the Bourne Bridge. Is that true?
Yeah, my buddy left from Falmouth today and said that it took him 6.5 hours to get through traffic.
That is unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
That is stupid. But you have fun. You have all 10 fingers still left.
Oh, I'm alive. All 10 fingers. No Jason Pierre-Paul here. I'm all set.
All right. Hey, by the way, did you eat a lot and drink a lot? I mean, were you okay there too?
Oh yeah. No, I went off the Lifshatz diet. I had So I had myself a very good time
Now, Dan, I know you saw Joey Chestnut crush 63 hot dogs and win another mustard belt. How many hot dogs do you think you could eat in 10 minutes?
10 minutes. So, I'd be pretty good through about, 2, 3, 4 minutes.
Yep.
And then I'd feel real sick. I'd say...
Now, you have to... the rolls have to come with it. You know that.
8 or 9. I'd say 8 or 9.
And you think... Okay.
That might be high.
Hey, I need to know, dude. I know you're a gambler. I asked Rick Horro earlier, and he said he doesn't believe that sports gambling in Massachusetts is going to happen for the football season. What is the latest? I know you got some peeps in the know, and you know this stuff. What is holding this thing up? What is happening? Kansas just got a gambling. Kansas before Massachusetts. What am I missing?
Yes, I mean, what's kind of holding everything up right now is the fact that one side wants college sports betting and the other side doesn't, and they're trying to find a happy medium.
Yeah.
And what the happy medium is what's happened in every other state is that you just can't bet on college sports from teams located in that state. Like New Jersey, you can't bet on, Seton Hall, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's very simple, and it's an easy solution, an easy compromise that all these other states are making. But for whatever reason, Massachusetts cannot seem to get their stuff together and cannot figure it out. So here we are, and I don't think it's going to happen. I have to be honest with you. Everything that you keep hearing, you heard a lot of positivity at the beginning. Oh, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. But we'll probably be going right around football season at this point. That optimism has turned to negativity. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Is it anything to do with the Boston College? And we know there's been a lot of issues at Boston College with gambling, and we know Boston College, and I worked there for Learfield Boston College, and I'm not talking down on them, but we know they have a lot of juice in the city. Is anything have to do with Boston College and not wanting gambling?
I think that that's what they use as an excuse. They use that scandal and everything that kind of went on.
All right.
As the excuse, but that's not the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is the way politicians work these days, you got to pay them off and you got to pay enough. And, that's the truth these days, that, everyone needs their slice of the pie, and whoever it is ain't getting their slice in order to make it happen. So it's not going to happen, or they're being paid to make it not happen. One of those two things, more likely than not. So I don't expect it to... I don't expect it to happen, but yeah, the BC thing is a very convenient excuse
okay.
that no longer holds water.
Hey, Dan, you and I live on this program had a little bit of a friendly wager with the Stanley Cup. Again, I didn't really have much skin in the game. I know you had a lot on the Colorado Avalanche. You had 17 bets this way, that way, sideways. So for me, it was kind of fun to go at you saying, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay, two-time Stanley Cup champs, or in the third Stanley Cup, blah, blah, blah. You said they suck. How'd you end up with the Stanley Cup, by the way? And for the record, Die Hard Nation, I paid him his C-note for entertainment purposes only, of course.
Yeah, of course, entertainment purposes only. Look, I did very, very well on the Stanley Cup. I did well in the individual games. I did well in the series. I thought that Colorado was going to dominate that series, with the exception of, I personally think, and I know you disagree, Pepe, but I think with the exception of maybe one to two games, Colorado dominated that series. They were the better team. They were the faster team. They moved the puck better. The goaltending, obviously, was a massive mismatch. But outside of that, I mean, I really thought that, Tampa Bay left a lot to be desired, and I'm surprised that it wasn't over in 5. I'll give Tampa credit for extending that series to 6, but I'm surprised that they got there. That's my honest opinion.
And again, Dan, we tongue-in-cheek, and we can joke about it and laugh, and I know Colorado was better, but to say Tampa Bay sucked to me was crazy. I mean, there were two games that Tampa Bay lost in overtime. And again, not taken away from Colorado winning those two games. Two games in overtime. Game 6 was a 2-1 game. The second goal in game 6, by the way, which was like 7 minutes, into like, I think the third period, was their first lead in a regular regulation since Game 3 in the second period. They didn't really dominate that much, and Tampa Bay didn't suck.
Well, okay, when I say dominate, I mean, if you watch the game, it was very evident
yep.
who the better team was.
Of course, yep.
they were faster. They were, I mean, it was clearly dominance. The fact was that Tampa Bay's goalie kept them in, you know, kept them in the series. I mean, that Husky was significantly better, you know, than whatever Colorado tried to put out there at the time. I mean, you know, it wasn't remotely close. And so, look, I felt that Tampa was, you know, is obviously a fun story. I still believe they shouldn't have gotten out of the first round against Toronto, and that the you know the Tampa Bay Lightning always seem to just get these lovely calls from the league constantly over and over and over again, no matter what year it is, no matter what happens, they always seem to be getting it. Always seems to be Kelly Sutherland in the middle of the action there. But look, the fact is that, you know, Tampa Bay got there, they dominated Florida. They outlasted New York, who really had a chance to put them away in Game 3, and they didn't. And, look, they made it far, so credit to them. But, I also think that this is probably the end of that team. You know, you're going to have to start really starting to make some tough financial decisions down the road. You have a lot of players on that team that you need to pay. That was probably the end of the run. And now you basically have added an extra season onto all these guys who are on that team, and basically for the last three postseasons, they've now played almost an entire extra season, or just over three quarters of the season. So I just think at some point that's definitely going to catch up with them. Maybe it's next year.
He's a diehard. He's from 98.5, the Sports Hub. His name is Dan Lifschatz on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. It is the Sports Map Radio Network. Hey, man, with all the NBA movement, can you get lucky with some of these season totals? Like, with some of this movement happens that maybe you get in here or there and maybe swindle one of these books? Are they just too fast?
No. Well, I mean, when it comes to, I mean, look, you're going to get some good stale betting odds for the championship and maybe for Eastern and Western Conference. But for win totals, you're not going to see much in the way of that. You know, you're not going to be able to swindle teams. What I would tell you, though, is that there are going to be a lot of teams who had a really good season last year that, you know, maybe just kind of pulled it out of nowhere. And I would just kind of, you know, start taking a look at some of those teams and maybe who might be on the decline. For instance, Atlanta, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, you know, with Trae Young, made the ECF, what, 2 years ago, and this year didn't even make the, you know, barely made the playoffs. And, you know, right, I don't even think they did, if I remember correctly. I honestly can't remember if they even made the play-in tournament. Like, you know, so there are going to be teams where you're going to be able to take advantage of some of this stuff when it comes to the win totals.
Sure.
But in terms of trying to, you know, adjust or, you know, catch a sportsbook sleeping, yeah, you might get some stale championship and Eastern Conference lines, but, or, you know, some conference championship lines, but it's tough. You got to know the right places to go.
What about taking a team like Miami or Toronto or Phoenix that Kevin Durant is rumored to say he wants to play for? What about playing that season total and hopefully you get lucky? You know, you get a 1 in 3 chance. If those are the three teams that maybe he could go to, you say, you know what, I'm going to whack this team X for the season total, because if they had Kevin Durant, you feel pretty good if everyone's healthy, which is always the case, that you could whack that total.
Yeah, so I'll tell you this. I'll tell you, don't play Toronto. I don't think there's going to be any chance that Durant ends up in Toronto. That, from what I've heard, he's not even remotely on their list. That's more of a one-way interest. And usually in this situation, not always, but almost always in these situations, the players hold the power, and I would expect Durant to be one of those players who actually holds the power as well. The situation, not so much the team. Miami definitely is interesting, Pep, because I think that there's a good chance that they either get at least Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant, if not possibly both. And that would be huge. So to me, I mean, that was the one that I played a couple of days ago at 15-1.
Okay.
Because I expect Miami to get either Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. Not only have I heard things about Kyrie Irving probably ending up in Miami, but let's look who, you know, look at the, you know, the guy in charge there is. It's Pat Riley. And Pat Riley is the one guy in the league who just is not scared of making a move and going out and getting something done. So to me, Pat Riley is going to be the guy out of every single team in the league who's going to go out and get one of these two guys if there's an opportunity there for that to happen.
Dan Lifschatz, 1 minute left. Have you played any week ones in the NFL yet, or is it too early?
You know, I haven't played any week ones. I have played some other weeks, but I haven't played any week ones. A lot of people played the Patriots plus three week one.
Yeah.
I'm still looking.
Okay.
I'll get there.
Do you play against Cleveland because they don't have a quarterback?
Yeah, I did play that one, but I just think that's just unfair at this point because the Lions lose so much.
Yeah. All right, man. Keep up the good work with 98.5 The Sports Hub, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll see you next week.
I will. I'll be in next week. I'll see you then, Pep.
All right, there he is, Dan Lifshatz from 98.5 The Sports Hub, the over-under show. He's in on Tuesdays, most Tuesdays, here with the diehards with CT Betts, who are both off tonight, and they'll be back next week. We'll take another timeout. When we return, we'll do some more gambling with our pal, content provider for DraftKings, host of the Unreasonable Odds podcast. He's a diehard. He's hosted the show. He's a guest host of the show. He's a guest. Julian Edlow is next on the Progressive Guest Line. We are the Diehards, and you are listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
I know our next guest is a big fan of No Diggity, No Doubt. On the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Content provider for DraftKings, host of the Unreasonable Odds podcast. He's a diehard, Mr. Julian Edlow. What's up, buddy?
How we doing, Pep?
Did you have a good fourth? What'd you do?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was around all weekend, did some barbecuing, did some some smoking of some wings and ribs. It was good. How was yours?
Now, mine was good. Did you cook, or were you just around people that cook?
No, I did some cooking. Believe it or not, I'm capable.
I just thought you were a degenerate gambler that's awesome at it. I had no idea that you were a chef.
Yes, no, I'm able to do more. It's much easier when you just throw things in a smoker for 6 hours and then take it out.
So you cooked wings in the smoker? What else?
Oh, yeah, wings, ribs. And of course, it's July 4th, so you got to do some hot dogs, just not 64 of them.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, and you, are you a fireworks guy? Do you light fireworks off?
No, we don't do fireworks. We'll just we got some views of a couple towns around. That's good enough.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, let's get into this gambling stuff. How does all this NBA movement affect NBA futures? Does it?
It's a little too early for me, especially with the balanced landscape of the NBA right now. There's probably 6, 7, 8 teams that I could give you right now, and you would be like, oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they won it all.
What is your best approach? You sit and wait? And if you do, you can wait too long, can't you?
You can, but for example, if you like the Suns, if they're going to get Durant, that's the type of thing you can fire on.
Okay.
But when that trade is made, you want to beat that movement and bet some Phoenix, that would be fine with me. But at this point, if you look at the landscape in the East, which looks like the Nets are out of it, if I told you the Celtics, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Heat, maybe even the Raptors, especially if they're in the Durant sweepstakes, if any of those teams were to win the East, it wouldn't really surprise me. So I don't see much of an edge, I guess, to betting one of those teams now. Let's just kind of see how the rest of the offseason shakes out. And then if you want to take one before the season starts, that's fine. But for the most part, I think the betting futures in season, outside of obviously win totals, you do that before, but betting these futures in season, along with betting awards in season, is just the way to go because you get that sneak peek of what things are going to look like.
Julian, what did it mean when the Celtics pull in Gallinari, a big man, three-point shooting guy, and Brogdon, who can play point and score some points? What did that mean for their season total? Did it affect it tremendously, or is it just kind of, here's a team that got to game six of the finals, really didn't move the needle that much?
So from an odds standpoint, it did, pull them ahead to become the title favorites on DK Sportsbook, which makes sense. Like I'm saying, I think they deserve to be favored. I don't know if, there's so many other teams that are capable of winning. I don't necessarily know if it means they will. But you look at those NBA finals, the Celtics starters outscored the Warriors starters. And that was with Jason Tatum playing, below what he's capable of, and Steph Curry putting on a show on the Golden State side. Those games, the game won, the bench won the Celtics that game, and then the rest of that series, the bench was absolutely dreadful, and Golden State was able to get production out of its bench. So the Celtics just added a very, very good sixth and seventh man to really sure up, you know, if you just go by their averages last season, that's like over 30 points per game coming off the bench now in Brogdon and Gallinari. Brogdon, when healthy, the third best player on the team. So I think the depth that they added is championship caliber depth. And like for the regular season, for a win total, I don't necessarily know what it'll mean, because I think it's going to mean, you know, Brogdon's going to get plenty of nights off to get his health back, and Marcus Smart will play his normal role. Smart gets some nights off when Brogdon's in there. Al Horford and Gallinari are going to take alternate nights off all the time. Like, they're going to try and keep these guys healthy for the postseason. So I don't necessarily think it's going to mean, you know, for sure a one seed in the East or anything. But the plan is to keep them healthy for the postseason. And if they are, then, yeah, I think they deserve to be favored.
Jules, with the NHL Stanley Cup Finals recently wrapping up, the NBA Finals, you know, a few weeks ago, MLB's the game in town. Apologize to WNBA gamblers or, you know, soccer or KBO baseball. But MLB is the only big sport, if you will, still going right now, in theory. Are you playing in any MLB at all?
I had been doing a little bit and just wasn't doing well with it. and, I mean, baseball.
You don't like MLB betting. You don't like it.
I mean, let me give you an example of an MLB game recently that did not sit well with me, let's say. So Friday night, Dodgers, Tony Gonsolin on the mound. He's a Cy Young candidate.
Sure.
Dodgers are minus 120 to lay the half run for the first five, just be leading after the fifth inning.
Yep.
The Dodgers in that game led after the first, second, third, fourth, sixth, seventh, and eighth innings. There was
skipped an inning. You skipped an inning.
I did, and you might notice that it was the fifth inning, the only point in the game that it was tied.
Oh, dear God.
Only point in the game that the Dodgers were not winning. They did, of course, win by multiple runs and go on to cover the run line for the game. So that is just one example of how baseball is just tough, man.
Jules, when you look at college football and the landscape and how crazy it is with everything going on and teams moving and all, you know, these players getting paid now and all this stuff, USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 is huge news, looking to play in the Big Ten. Is it safe to say that that first season's going to be hard to handicap with a team like USC and UCLA in the Big Ten?
It's certainly not going to be easier. I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, those are two good schools going into a good conference. So, like, it's going to be cool to see whatever, you know, that first Ohio State USC
crazy
like conference game. Like, that's cool as sports fans, and you know, the teams are going to be what the teams are, so in theory you should be able to cap that game at that point. But yeah, I think overall, you know, in terms of, like, let's say we start looking at win totals for, like, USC going into the Big Ten, like, you know, they've been in the Pac-12 for so many years. What's it going to look like when they go to the Big Ten? How are they going to match up against the field? I would be really nervous to play, like, one of these teams moving conferences on their win total, just because we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But by the time you get to, like, October, November of that season, I think you'll be able to cap a game just the normal way that you would be able to.
I think it's exciting as a sports fan and a college football fan. Like you mentioned, USC, Ohio State, or Chip Kelly's UCLA Bruins against the, you know, Ohio. Like, to me, it's going to be so much fun watching these teams match up year in and year out. It's pretty wild, and you got to feel bad for the Pac-12. I mean, wow.
Yeah, fall from grace there.
Wow.
The Pac-10 growing to the Pac-12 and then just blowing up, right?
Yeah,
and,
it's crazy.
It's like the one big conference there out west, with so many in, you know, centrally located and out to the east, and now the big West Coast Conference, even though there is, of course, the West Coast Conference, the big conference out west kind of comes undone, and, you know, everything's just kind of geographically not the way that it used to be, right?
It's crazy. Hey, Jules Edlow from DraftKings Unreasonable Odds Podcast. What's new with DraftKings, and what can people expect from your podcast?
Podcast, we have a college football preview out already, but we're going to be having Phil Steele on later this month for one, and maybe even some NBA Summer League. You never know what you're going to find.
Hey, man, keep up the good work. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Pep.
There he is, diehard pal of the show, Julian Edlow, content provider from DraftKings, host of the Unreasonable Odds podcast. Another timeout. When we return, we'll head out to Vegas, SportsX Radio's Ken Thompson will join us on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll talk everything Vegas, what's happening in Vegas. We'll talk Vegas Raiders next.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Friends are on the Progressive guest line. Before we get to my friend, it's 6:40 his time out in Vegas. It is 9:40 here. That means in 20 minutes, I'll be lighting up a cigar with the boys here in Boston, courtesy of my friends at twoguyscigars.com. It's the number twoguyscigars.com. They have a great selection of premium cigars. It's where I get mine. You need to get yours there, too. The number twoguyscigars.com. This week, we're smoking the Firecracker. Yep. That's David, Big Poppy, David Ortiz. It's his cigar. It's called the Firecracker. Get yours today, twoguyscigars.com. That's the number two. Progressive Insurance guest line has been cooking all night. Protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. SportsX Radio's firmly on the Las Vegas Strip. Dear friend of the show, Mr. Ken Thompson, you survived 4th of July. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, how you doing, Pep?
I'm doing awesome, man. I survived as well.
That's all that matters, baby. We live to see another day.
No firecrackers went off. There was some fireworks at my house, but that's a story for another time. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah, all I could tell people in the sports world, and not to make light of it, but at the end of the day, do not hang out with JPP on 4th of July.
Hey, dude, I'm curious. I'm here in the Pepe compound, 20 minutes south of Fenway Park. I have a lot of boxing memorabilia. We've talked about this before. I kind of reminisce. I look back. I look at all my Manny Pacquiao, you know, credentials and Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Shane Mosley, B-Hop, Bernard Hopkins, and I get the gloves signed and all this stuff. And I loved the sport when I covered it. I covered it for about 13 years from 2002 to 2015. Nothing better than it, in my opinion. Where's the state of boxing right now in Vegas? Because to me, I'm lost.
Nah, you know what, Ant? You just don't get that feeling like back in the day. I mean, and, you know, I'm old school, so grow up with the heavyweights when I was a little kid. And you know, guys like Ali and Frazier and then Norton and then Foreman comes on the scene. And then Holmes was kind of like by himself, really. But, yep. You know, and then you transition to the middleweights. And then it was just incredible when you had Hagler and Hearns and Leonard, Duran and Iran Barkley and just said there was always somebody up and coming, but those fights were just fantastic matchups. You look and you can kind of pick and choose and there'd be, you know, four or five matchups that you'd want to see. Now you don't even, I mean, unless you follow it closely, you just don't really know. You really don't know the fighters. You know,
It's funny, Ken, because I have people that come in here, and I got a lot of my buddies that come in here all the time. But I, you know, new people coming in and out, and new dads I meet on the softball field. They come in and they go, "Hey, man, did you watch the Canelo Alvarez fight? Did you watch Triple G?" I'm like, "No, I like those guys. I know those guys." But when pay per view was happening, and if I was not at the fight, it was must buy for me here with my buddies. I couldn't care less right now, and I hate it because I'm a diehard boxing guy. I'm just not into it, and I feel bad.
No, I know. You shouldn't feel bad, though. I mean, it's boxing's fault. They let the sport get away, and they really did. And then UFC came on the scene, and so you grabbed a lot of people that were interested in seeing some high-level fights. So, you know, the one thing you could say about UFC and Dana White is they will continue to turn over every rock and every leaf and just find new talent and then create, you know, matchups that mean something. I mean, not every card is good, and unless you're an MMA diehard, you're not going to pay for all the pay-per-views, but, you know, they got ESPN to grab their product, so they get some stuff there with the ESPN Plus, so, you know, that's better for them, and you know, they still have enough marquee matchups that they're going to be able to sell, you know, a few of their pay-per-views and make some pretty good money on it.
Ken, it's funny because I do pay attention to MMA. I'm not a big MMA guy, but I pay attention from my pal and former diehard John Anik, who's the number one commentator, and I watch it and I pay attention to all his social media platforms, and I'm watching the hype of these fights, and I see it like boxing used to be, and then I see the lines, the tickers the next day, and it has the storyline and the ESPN, you know, storylines and tickers. I just don't see that with boxing, and everyone used to talk about and want to compare boxing to MMA, and I'm like, it doesn't compare. It never would. It's like MMA has surpassed boxing, and it's sad to me.
Well, here's the thing, Pep. I'll tell you, it seems like our country has gravitated. You know, you and I are growing up, and baseball is big, and for our parents, it was even bigger, right? And so that's declined. Now, you're in a great baseball environment with Fenway, and when the Red Sox are playing well like they have been recently, that's good for baseball. I mean, that's key because it keeps the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry to where the games are interesting, that Boston's honing in on a playoff spot. Yankees are already there with the best record in baseball, so that's big for baseball. But really, when you look at what's happening on the landscape of college football, and as much as I love college football, I'm so bummed about it. I've been an SC fan for a half century. I'm just bummed out about this whole darn thing. And look, I know they're going to be one of the players and the shakers and movers, even in the Big Ten, if they transition, like it looks for all intents and purposes like they will. But I'm somebody that wants to now look at the NFL a little closer. And so when the NFL's over, what do? We start looking at futures, and then the NFL drafts in April, and then we get to July. Now we're like, hey, it's right around the corner, even though July and August have to go through. But we start looking at it closer, and football's really king. So I think as sports fans, most of us, you know, center around the NFL and college football. Now, the NBA had a pretty good run, but their numbers declined. I mean, you had Boston come in the mix, and you had, you know, some other teams, but the Phoenix Suns really let the NBA down. I mean, by losing to Dallas the way they did in embarrassing fashion, they took away from a Western Conference final setup between Golden State and Phoenix, which would have gotten them some really solid ratings. So, you know, you just never know. But I think football is king in this country, and that's the way it's going to be for a long time.
Ken Thompson, let's stay on this for just a second because it was my next question. Your thoughts on USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten. Do you feel like they have a better shot to win in the Big Ten?
No. Why did they make this move?
I mean, if you got a new coach and a new skipper in USC and you got Chip Kelly at UCLA, why did they all come on board? I know they didn't make the decision. They were probably part of it in the discussion. Why do you think these two big-time college football programs decided to make that move?
You know, whether or not it's the Big Ten maybe saying, hey, look, if you don't come with us, you know, we've got other irons in the fire, so to speak, which could be Washington and Oregon, which could be, you know, whatever. You don't know. And so there you are. You're looking at it, and you have an advantage because you're the number two TV market in the country. So you have that advantage that you were first come, first serve, so to speak. And so SC and UCLA, they took advantage of it. And it you know, again, it blindsides us. I don't understand how logistically they're going to do any basketball. You're going to have two games on Thursdays and Saturdays, and you're going to send these kids cross country from LA to play at Rutgers and then you know, whatever. I mean, it's just, to me, it's mind boggling. Whoever's going to figure it out and thinks that it's such a great idea. I mean, the sad state of this country is everything is about the almighty dollar, and if the dollar's declining, so is tradition, because they're going to go out and try and get more money. So they're taking away history, and people go, well, look at Nebraska. Nebraska transitioned from the Big 8 to the Big 12 to the Big 10. I don't care. I still miss Nebraska-Oklahoma. It was an epic game for a long time. And you're going to take 100 years now of tradition in the Pac and go from Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, and now you're just going to break away, and that's why the Big 12's in there, because they know if they don't pillage what's left of the Pac-12 before the Pac-12 goes and grabs teams from the Big 12. So it's like, okay, who can get a leg up on who? I think it sucks. You're going to take away potential upsets from teams like, you know, Boise State having a chance to maybe get in the playoff, or Central Florida, although Central Florida is now ticketed to move to the Big 12. So you just, I mean, it's just a mess, man. It really is, and it's all about money. And it sucks because you're throwing away tradition and history just for money.
Mr. SportsX Radio, Ken Thompson, firmly on the Las Vegas Strip, is on the Progressive Insurance guest line, makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Hey, where are you with all this crazy NBA movement? Are you enjoying it, or is it just another situation where superstars that don't win are moving teams, or asked to be moved, and is it expected?
And here I am. I'm not in Beantown, and I'm in Vegas, where they're not talking about one potential franchise. There could be two franchises in Vegas. Who knows? LeBron wants a team here, and I get it. When you're in a market where the NBA is, yeah, you could probably handle it a little more, especially if you're a winning franchise, to handle the news maybe 9 months out of the year. But the NBA just ended. I'm sick of the NBA right now. And when I hear crybabies like freaking Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Katie, what do you want? The Nets gave you everything you wanted and then some. Paid you millions and millions of dollars when you couldn't even play. Same with Kyrie. I mean, it is what it is. He didn't make the vaccination rules there in New York, but the Nets still paid him, right? And so all of a sudden, then these guys, you know, again, and we get these guys under contract. Why? So they can play and be productive. But whenever any of them have a good season, they want to sit out and renegotiate. What the hell is that? Nobody else in any job can do that. You just can't do that. And so they continue to do it. It's like, we didn't pay you to have a crappy season. We paid you to have a good season. You had the good season, but now because so-and-so got $300 million, now you got to sit out and you want to renegotiate. It's absolutely just despicable at this day and age why people are fretting about a possible recession that we've got these guys whining and crying over hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, boo-hoo. I could give a crap.
Hey, Ken, it's July. You know what that means. I ask you this question every year. You are in Vegas. I'm not going to get into the 1990 UNLV team, the greatest basketball team ever assembled. All I want to know is, how good is this UNLV team going to be this year? What are the expectations? And can I rock my retro UNLV Rebels hat soon? Because I've been waiting every year for them to be, like, ranked, be in the top 25, to do something. Is this freaking team ever going to be good again?
Yes, Kevin Kruger, man, I'm telling you. Kevin Kruger is getting a lot of transfers. Look, he's a young guy, young enough to understand the transfer portal, and he's got ties to places like Oklahoma, where his dad recently was. So he was there. He was a member of certain coaching staffs. He did time at ASU, came up to UNLV. Kevin Kruger is starting to get some names, and all it takes here in Vegas is to have a good, solid winning tradition and get it going. And the fans are behind him. He's just got to win, but he's upping the schedule to where the non-conference games are not just a bunch of joke teams. All he's right. getting some Power 5 teams. And so I commend Kevin Kruger. I know the kid. I love him, man. I love him. He's cut from the same cloth as his dad. And most of the transfers that he got, which are some pretty good names, Pat, can all play defense. And you don't see that too often in the NCAA anymore in basketball.
Let's not forget that guy, Grandmama Larry Johnson, was a JUCO Player of the Year and headed into UNLV. So it is possible. But anyway, final thoughts here, Ken Thompson. Raider Nation updates. What's happening? Any big news?
Well, I just left the Westgate. I just grabbed the updated sheets, and the Raiders did go 8.5 to -120. So they're getting some play. And at the South Point, their win total is 9. So it's 8.5 most places, minus some juice, but it is 9 over at the South Point. I'm telling you, you better get on the Raiders. I know we'll know after their first 5 games whether or not this team's going to be a postseason team, but I think they will be. I'm sold on, if Derek Carr is healthy, with the acquisitions they made on offense and defense, this team's going to be pretty solid. Again, the question mark, the offensive line, but they've addressed it at least to what they think is going to be a cohesive unit, and they will look for other teams that potentially cut down their rosters to maybe grab a veteran offensive lineman at the end of camp.
Final minute here, Ken. What's your biggest concern heading into the season, other than that offensive line?
Really, that's it. I like the linebacking core now.
Right.
I think Perryman was a great find last year. He was a tackling machine. I think the secondary is good. I think Abram has really learned to not put 100,000% on every single play because he won't be around. He was second in tackles last year. I like the makeup of the running game because now Josh Jacobs, and that's the way of McDaniels in New England, is bring in 3 or 4 guys that you have so you don't have to give anybody this max contract on the second, unless they truly earn it. But Jacobs' carries will be down big time, and you've got Brandon Bolden and Amir Abdullah and the kid they grabbed in the draft as well, Zeus. Zamir White. So they've got some players, and Kenyon Drake's there, and he's under contract for another couple of years. So they got a lot to choose from. I'm taking a pretty strong stance now that I think McDaniels is going to really improve to the coach that he was for Denver. I think we're going to see a different guy.
All right, man, final 20 seconds. The only game left on the board tonight in MLB. Dodgers are like -250 against the Rockies. Do you give up the run and a half? Are they going to win tonight? Did you play the game?
God, man, the Dodgers are inconsistent. They'll win by a run, man. But you know what? At the end of the day, Ant, I didn't play it, and I don't want to leave any of the listeners with one of these getaway games and get
all
the
right.
wrong side.
Fair enough.
I'll defer to you, Pepe.
I bet the Dodgers season total over the 97.5. I bet them on the run line all season long. I win some, I lose some, but I've been winning more than I lose. It's just, they're just that good. And against the Rockies team that, you know, is so-so, but it is what it is. Kent Thompson, SportsX Radio, keep up the good work, buddy. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Always appreciate being part of the diehards, man. You're the best, Pep.
All right, there he is again on the Progressive Insurance guest line, Ken Thompson. Take our final timeout of hour number two, final timeout of the show. We'll come back and wrap things up. You're locked into the Diehards Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
All right, again, it is the gambling edition, wrapping things up. There's only one game left on the board tonight. It is the Dodgers hosting the Colorado Rockies. Dodgers minus 222, Rockies plus 192. Dodgers minus a run and a half or minus 110, Rockies plus 1.5 or minus 110. I don't know. I don't know where to go to this game. I do like the Dodgers minus the run and a half. It just concerns me. So here's what I did, Die Hard Nation. I played the under 8.5 runs. It went from 9 to 8.5 at plus 100. Under 8.5 runs is my pick to click tonight in the Dodgers Colorado Rockies. John Bellman running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. My friend, you are the best in the business. Diehards are back tomorrow night. Have a good night, everybody.